By the way, I didn't mention that we not only did we have trip worn on Thursday, but we found out last Sunday after church that Casey and Alex are having another child, and so I guess they're supposed to go this sometime. Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll get the word to everybody, but next Sunday is our fellowship time together. We're going to have dinner on the tables here and on top of the ground. They always said dinner on the ground. As a kid, I'm like, I don't want dinner on the ground. I want it on the table. So we're going to have dinner on the tables. And so bring every, you know, if you can't get people to come to church any other time, if you're feeding them, they'll come. And if they only knew that the other feeding that they get when they came here was a whole lot, worth a whole lot more than that other feeding that we get, Butterfinger blizzards might make you think you're doing good till you go to put your pants on. But when you get filled up with word, that's a different story. Amen. Been talking to you for the last 2 or 3 weeks on the subject of operating in the natural versus the supernatural. Talked about that there's some things that we need to get, you know, and if we're going to operate in the supernatural. Hey, baby. Just wide-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. That if you're going to operate in the supernatural, there's, you know, there's some things that we have to do. And the only major thing that we have to do is we have to let holiness be alive and operating in our lives. And as I've told you before, when you get saved, God does the work on the heart, on the spirit man. You and I are responsible for the soul man, mind, will, intellect, and emotions, which really that's our behavior. So if you go into a church and say, if you're righteous, raise your hands, not a lot of people will, because they don't understand their righteousness. But righteousness is concerned with what God has done in the heart. Holiness refers to our behavior. And there's areas that we have to get cleaned up. And we took a look at things in our lives that would be pleasing to God, things in our lives that wouldn't be pleasing to God. And, you know, it's not that the Spirit of God's not still in you. It's just you can't even really have a good awareness of the Spirit of God and what He's trying to do if He's been working on you to try to clean some stuff up and you haven't been obedient to that. Both of those involve listening to the Spirit, hearing what the Spirit says. I also started sharing with you that that we get born again into the supernatural, and yet we live in this world, this natural world, and many times we just go on continuing living our life in the natural, which, whenever we don't have a word or scripture or Bible awareness, when attacks are coming our way, when circumstances and situation are coming our way, it may look like it's coming from a particular person, but the Bible says it's all spiritual. It's powers and it's principalities. And we need to recognize it for what it is. And He says, if you have ears to hear, spiritually speaking, you need to be able to hear what the Spirit's saying. If you have eyes to see, you need to be able to see beyond what you see with your physical eyes, but what you can see in the supernatural. Now, along those lines, I want to begin for the next couple of weeks, because there's one other thing that when I finish this series up, there's one other area where we really need to be taking a look at, and not necessarily cleaning up, but to continue to perfect in our life, because it will be a lifelong thing, and it's something that we need to work on. But in the meantime, we can't look at operating in the supernatural regularly and being sensitive to the move of the Spirit. And I could say supernatural versus natural. I could also say spirit versus flesh. But it's also hard to operate in the supernatural if we don't understand the God-given authority that God has given us to live above what happens on the earth. And, you know, I could go a lot of different places with this series. I could segue this into the kingdom of God and operating according to the principles in the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is up there and down here. It's the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. We know it's a two-story place. And whether we're upstairs or downstairs, we're operating in the kingdom of God, or should be operating in the kingdom of God. But you and I, to operate in the supernatural, have to understand the authority that we've been given here while we're here on earth. And as a matter of fact, you and I have been given that authority to change things the way they happen on earth. And what I mean by that is, we've been given authority that we just don't let life happen to us. We can actually happen to life, and we should. You know, when somebody says something to you that doesn't line up with what the Word says, you don't have to shout them down, and you don't have to shut them down. But you know what you can say? You can say within yourself, you know what, that is not Word. I am not receiving that. Sometimes you can turn the other person off by publicly going after them. Sometimes they need to publicly be gone after because they don't get it. But sometimes they just are saying what they're saying out of ignorance. They're saying what they're saying based on what the world says, but they don't really have an understanding of what the Scripture says. And sometimes we just allow those statements and things to permeate our life, and we need to understand we don't have to. There's many times people have said something to me, and particularly nowadays with our economy and all this mess going on in Congress. And, you know, there was a girl this morning had posted something about pray for Israel. Well, we're supposed to pray for Israel all the time. I pray for Israel every day, okay? But she's talking about, you know, about we're in September, you know, Jerusalem's supposed to be the Palestinian capital. And at that time, Israel ain't going to let that happen, and they ain't, and they shouldn't, because it belongs to Israel. God said it did. All you got to do is open the book. Even the Jews and even all those other, you know, denominations, if you will, or cults, believe in the first five books of the Bible, and that pretty much tells you what's going on. So that stuff belongs to Israel. But, you know, she was saying, well, you know, it's all going to break loose. Well, it's all going to break loose anyhow. it's done broke loose going all the way back to Abraham and Isaac Ishmael. It's gone all the way back to them. That's where all that stuff stems from, that friction and that animosity. But you know what? Man, I love this study we've been doing in Revelation, because we're reading the end of the book. And we know what happens at the end. And we know that the earth is still standing strong at the end. There's some things that's going to happen in the end that's going to affect what happens on the earth. But we know that eventually the kingdom is going to be established. And it's still here, even after all those other things have happened. So, I want to get into our spiritual authority this morning. I want to start by going to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And this is where we really have to start. Okay? To understand our authority, we have to start at Matthew 28:18 to understand how authority was given, how we've received the authority. Then we can start talking about how to operate in the authority and how to operate in the supernatural. We can operate in the supernatural if we understand we have supernatural authority. Amen? Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" So the first thing for us to understand about authority is that the authority was first given to the Son while he was here on earth. The authority was given to Jesus. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we know that. We know that Jesus God created, well, God's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we know that Jesus was very involved in the creation of the world. We know that Jesus is very involved in everything that's gone on in the entire creation. And he's been given authority, because God always has divine authority. He's been given authority in heaven and in earth. But lots of times people get confused about authority. We see that all the time. You can see it if you ever watched any of them cop shows or police shows. You see a policeman coming up to somebody that's up to no good, and they'll say, they'll pull over and they'll tell you, "I want you to do something." And those people are going, "I ain't done nothing. You don't have the authority to tell me what to do." But see, that guy's wearing a badge, or that woman's wearing a badge that says, "I have the authority to get you to do what I want you." You can sit there and argue. You can fight. You can do whatever you want to. I was watching a show the other day, and two guys were in an alley, and the cop's standing there, and he goes, "Don't move," and he shines a flashlight at him. And one of the guys starts looking antsy. He goes, "I'm telling you, don't move." So what the guy does is he starts running at the cop. And as he runs at the cop, he's saying, "If you keep coming at me, I'm going to shoot you." And the guy keeps coming. Well, he's not coming at the cop, but he thinks he's going to run between the cop and the alley. Well, when he goes, "I'm telling you, I'm going to shoot you," and he zapped him with one of those guns. And here he is. Here's the cop right here, and he just comes running by like the cop didn't see him or something. And he zaps him with a taser, and he's laying on the ground. He goes, "I told you not to run." Well, you know what? He has the authority to use that gun. That badge has been given him. That's authority, and he has the authority to do it. But you know, some people either disregard it, or they don't have enough common sense to understand that regardless of what we think about it, that is the law. That's been set up. And it don't matter if we think that it's corrupt. It don't matter what we think about the system. The bottom line is, that is the system. And that is authority. And because of that, because of the inconsistencies, I think, of what happens on earth, and because we've had people who have been in authority that have misused and misappropriated authority, that people either don't want to understand it, don't understand it, or just try to disregard it. But the bottom line is, just because that's the type of authority that's used on earth, in the earthly realm, doesn't mean that that's the way that authority was intended and how it should be used. And if God's word is true, and it is, okay, then when we start talking about authority, biblically speaking, it's the truth. If God said it, it's going to happen. If we stand on it, if we believe it, if we have faith in it, what God said in his word is true, and it will happen if you and I will take God at his word and do what the word says. And when it comes to authority, because people are confused about that, I want you to be able to understand it. Strong's Concordance says, privilege or delegated influence. That's how it describes the word authority. Vines says, the power of authority, the right to exercise power. And I've heard one definition of authority that says authority is delegated power. And I think that's a pretty good description, that it's power that's been delegated to us to be able to influence the world. And authority by itself is not power. That's what a lot of people don't understand. The authority doesn't necessarily mean it's power, but it's the imparted from the Father to us, or imparted from the Son to us, the right to be able to use the power that's been given us. Now, we know that the power of God is on the inside of us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the exact same power that's on the inside of us. Now, let me tell you something. Resurrection life power is power. If it can raise someone from the dead, resurrection life power, that's the power that's on the inside of us. And that power has been delegated to us, imparted to us by Jesus to be able to use it in this world. And you know, isn't that something? It's like a lot of these other electronic devices that we have. You know, my mom's got this BlackBerry that does all kinds of stuff, and she knows how to make a phone call on it, period. I told her the other day, I go, why don't you just go buy... Last month, she used 7 minutes. Four, and she don't know how in the world she used that many minutes. She don't remember making 4 minutes of phone calls on that phone. Okay, well, we're probably at the beach, and somebody probably grabbed her phone is what happened. I told her, I go get one of them payment plans where you just prepay. I go, you don't know how to check a voicemail or an email or do anything else on the phone. Just go get a plain old phone with big old numbers on it. And she goes, well, I might want to call somebody. I go, well, you pay $50 and put it on there, but it don't go. You don't pay a monthly payment. It don't go down until you used up your $50. At her rate, she would never use up $50. Right? So we all have stuff that does all this kind of stuff that we don't know how to do. I've got DVD players and DVR players. I got it set up in my house where music will play throughout my entire house. I don't know how to do that. It does it, but I always got to get somebody else to cut it on. I don't know how to do it. I went and bought this remote that you could program all that into the remote. And then all you got to do is hit the right button on the remote. I still don't know the button to hit on that remote to get that stuff to happen. So out of the same sound system, I got it to play surround system, but it also play music on the pool deck, and it also play music throughout the house all separately. And the only thing I can do is watch the surround sound. I get mad when somebody changes it because I don't know how to get it back. Right? So how many of us have tools like that that do all of these things that we bought them because they do all of those things, but we don't even know how to use half of them that we've got? Well, sometimes we're guilty of that in the kingdom of God. You know, because we haven't taken the time to learn kingdom principles and how to operate in kingdom principles. And you know, I think a lot of it has to do with how we were raised, particularly how we were raised up in church. Because lots of times we've been given confusing messages throughout the years when it comes to how we're supposed to be in church. When I was in Sunday school, when I was a little boy, we got prizes for the quiet seat. In our church, you didn't raise a hand. And it was very dull and boring. You got the menu. They checked it off. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. And you couldn't wait to run out of there. First of all, you had to run out to get through all the smoke that was on the porch that they was smoking on your way out. I'm like, let me get out of here. Okay? So, you know, that's just the church that I went to. Then I get in Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, and we're going, okay, everybody be free and praise the Lord. But we've been taught the quiet seat and all that type of stuff. So maybe we aren't as free. You know, we've been taught some stuff growing up that's affected us. We've been taught mixed messages. You know, we know about authority. We know what the Word says about authority. And we think that because the world has some of these other things set up, that we need to operate within that. And we do. The Bible says that we're to obey the laws of the land. But in the same time, just because we're obeying the laws of the land doesn't mean that we're bucking the law by believing God to do something supernatural in our operating through those laws, right? We believe in, there's laws when it comes to finances, but every one of us want to believe in supernatural debt cancellation, don't we? That we just want to let God take some stuff and let it just go away. And I've seen that happen in my life and other people's lives that I know, that they had major debt that somehow, you know, even though the laws were the way they were, that debt was supernaturally canceled. So you and I need to learn we have a right to use and to yield to that power that Jesus has given to us. And if we look at Jesus' statement there in Matthew chapter 28, we'll see that the authority that he was walking in on earth was authority that was given to him. Okay? That authority was given him. And there is divine order. And in the divine order, the Father released the authority to His Son, and that's what Jesus walked in on earth. And He Himself said, all authority has been given to Me. Well, that's an important thing. And understand that the authority that Jesus has given us is the same authority that He was walking in. And He didn't ever have any questions about whether He was walking in it or not. It's just what came out of Him. He didn't pray for people. Lots of people go, well, he laid hands on them and He prayed for them. You'll only see one time the disciples said, teach us how to pray. We know that the disciples went every morning to where He was praying. Okay, they knew He'd be praying. But we only really see two prayers or maybe three prayers that were offered up in the Scripture. One when He was praying in the garden at Gethsemane, right? The other one was when He raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, Father, I'm praying so that they know that You hear. I know You always hear Me, but I'm praying so that they know that I always hear You. And then the disciples came up and said, Jesus, would You teach us how to pray? But when He went up, when he was walking in this authority that was given Him, He'd say, thou deaf, dumb, foul spirit, come out. He didn't have to pray about it. He had already prayed. He knew the Word's authority over that, and He just spoke to it. He spoke to bodies and told them to be healed. He spoke to maimed people and told them to be healed. He spoke to people that had demons, and the demons had to go. Jesus just knew what... In other words, He was consistent. And I think that's the problem with us as believers sometimes are, we're not consistent with the Word like we need to be. When a circumstance and a situation comes, let's be consistent with what we say we really believe. And what we say is we believe that He heals. Well, you know what? If that's the case, then there should be no thought about it. We should just pray and believe that God heals. We should speak to it and believe that it's going to be done. If we got something going on with the finances, something ought to rise up on the inside of us that says, checkbook, be full in Jesus' name. The Word says that if I bring my tithe into the storehouse, the curse is removed from my life. Windows of heaven open up and blessings poured in my life till I can't contain it. The devourer's rebuked on my behalf. Whatever it is I sow will not ripen before it's time to rot on the vine. He will meet all my need according to His riches and glory. And checkbook, be full now in Jesus' name. You know, in other words, instead of letting stuff happen to us, we need to be speaking the Word and believing it when we speak it because it's Word and it's truth. If that's the case, that's how we ought to respond every time. Every time. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I told so many lies because I was a con man. You know, everybody's a con man when you're living that life I was living. You're doing drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, you'll tell anybody anything that you want that they want to hear to get what you want. That's a con person where I come from. And you lie, and when you lie, you start telling so many lies, you even start beginning to believe the lies. The lies become a part of your life because you just said it over and over. So don't think that your words aren't who you are. Because I know that for a fact. And when I got saved, oh yeah, the drugs and alcohol and all that mess went. But it took me a while to figure out what stories I'd been telling was true and which ones that I'd been telling were those that I'd lied, made it up, and it just became a part of my life. Right? Well, you know what? It's no. I think that we have to program ourselves just like that. That I'm. In other words, I had made a decision that I wasn't going to live my life anymore by having to remember what's the last lie I told and how to cover that lie, because you have to lie to cover up that lie. Right? So I decided I wasn't smart enough to do that, and I just needed to tell the truth and walk by truth and let truth be what comes out of my life. Well, we have to be the same way about the Word. We have to decide that nothing that comes out, or the only way that we react, is the way the Word says, and in consistency with the Word. What does the Word say? In other words, if sickness tried to come upon me, you know, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. Now listen, don't go up there and try to get all the doctors saved just yet. If the doctor says something, that's what the they call it practicing medicine. So based on what they know, that's what they're telling you. You don't have to say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name or whatever. But what you can be saying in your spirit is, you know what? I'm not receiving that. That's not the Lord's report. The report of the Lord says, I am healed. And the enemy's trying to take that away, and I'm not letting him have it. And you know what? We go and we stand on that, and we believe that. We don't have to set everybody straight. Hey, set them straight afterwards. Okay? But, you know, just, you don't have to let everybody know what it is that you're thinking, what you're believing, what you're confessing, and what you're speaking. There's a time. There's a time to let that loose. There's a time to let that go. And sometimes it may be right then, but not every time. But consistently, whether it's privately or whether it's publicly, we need to operate consistent with the Word every time. It doesn't matter what we hear, doesn't matter what we see, what does the Word say, and act and speak accordingly every time, the same way every time. Right? Our confession is important. What we let in is important. If I have the mind of Christ and a bad report comes my way and I just accept it, then I've just disregarded everything that I know about the Word. Because I have the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ and Christ don't think that way, then I don't think that way. I'm to take every thought and imagination captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and cast that thing down and don't even let it in. In other words, I got to protect me. I got a spirit on the inside of me, but I got gates. I got ear gates and mouth gates and eye gates. I got these gates where I can protect what goes in and what I accept and what I receive. We need to use them. Now, none of what I've talked about today up to this point has anything to do with what I was talking to y'all about today. But that's what we need to hear, right? And because that's the way it is. And yes, what I'm saying really does line up with what I've got down on paper. But we need to understand that it's not just words written on a book. It's the words of God that we say we belong to God. We're children of God. In other words, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and we got to operate that way. We got to operate that way. And He's given us the authority to use it that way. In other words, we're not out of order saying, you foul, deaf, dumb spirit, come out in Jesus' name. We're not out of order saying that. As a matter of fact, we probably ought to be saying that more often. Or when we have somebody come against us in a way that's just absolutely demonic, we can say, you know what? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And you say, well, they're not the kind of people that you say that to. They're the exact kind of people you probably ought to say that to. We make excuses for why we don't say that. And why we don't, well, they just would never accept it. How would you know? You ain't never said it. You ain't never stood. There's situations and circumstances based on what we know and who we know and all of that, even though it doesn't line up with what the Word says, we just excuse it away, and we've got to get to the point where we don't do that anymore. That we're no, hey, if God's no respecter of persons, and He is, we've got to get to the point where we're no respecter of persons, and it doesn't matter if we love them, especially because we love them. We ought to be telling the truth. And not in a way that's going to run them off or run them away, but in a way that they really need to hear it and understand it. And say, you know what, I love you, but I rebuke you what you just said. That I'm not receiving that. That is not, you know, they'll say, that's the way they are, that's the way they've always been, that's the way they're always going to be, and say, you know what, I'm sorry, but I have to disagree. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God's promised me my family, and I take God at His Word. So you know what, those are the times where we really need to straighten things out, because we allowed that in. If we brushed it off, we allowed it in. That I need to deal with in love. In love. Speak the truth in love. And then go, you know what? You've weirded it out. You know, you've gone so far this other way. You can say, well, you know what? Whatever you want to think. All right? I've just decided to live my life by the Word. If the Word says it, doesn't even matter what I think about it, I believe it. And sometimes we're influenced by what we think about it, which is really why we didn't say anything and why we didn't address it. It'll really show you a hole in the arsenal, if you will, if we take a look at what we didn't address. It means we need work in that area. My question is, who gave Jesus the right to walk in that authority? And do we as Christians have the right to walk in that same godly authority? And the truth is, most Christians do recognize the authority that Jesus walked in. The Pharisees of that day asked Jesus the very question. And because they were acting like they really wanted to seek understanding of what authority He came in. But he never held back what authority He was walking in. But He knew it was a trap, so He didn't respond to them. He didn't have to tell them whose authority. He goes, I'll tell you. You know, answer this question. And when you answer that question, I'll tell you by whose authority I walk by. And He asked them a question that they couldn't answer, because if they did, then there would have been an uproar with the crowd. Matthew 21:23 says this. Turn with me there. Matthew 21:23. Now when He came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Him as He was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus didn't respond to him because, you know, He knew they were trying to trick Him. But we know, because He's told us over and over and over throughout the Scripture, that it was the Father that gave Him the authority. I do what I see my Father do. I say what I see my Father say. He kept telling everybody that. They knew that, but they were trying to trick Him. I'd also like for you guys to understand this morning, for us to get an understanding that walking in authority and being in submission go hand in hand. They really do. Walking in authority and understanding authority and being in submission. You know, there's a lot of people that's been involved in a lot of things within the church, just God's overall church and individual churches, where people have gotten involved with stuff that was really none of their business and had nothing to do with, well, I pay my tithes there. Okay, good. What's that got to do with anything? Do you believe the Word? Is that where you've been called to be? If you believe the Word, and that's where you've been called to be, that's the storehouse. You bring your tithe there. You know, you're not going to agree with everything that anybody does. I can listen to a politician, and I might can pick out a point or two of what they... But I've never heard a politician that everything they said lined up with exactly how I thought they ought to be. I've never heard a preacher or a pastor line up. As many great men and women of God, as I have read, studied, and all of that, there'll normally be a point. But that doesn't have anything to do with me. Last night I was doing some studying, and this guy that teaches strong on end times and walks strong in the prophetic began to nail every ministry out there, even ministries that I agreed with what he was saying. However, I would have never let that out of my heart, because there was nothing positive that was going to be done by letting that out of my heart and out of my mouth. But yet, this person felt the need to do that. You know, we need to be careful about that. Do not put your mouth on God's anointed. And what he was trying to say was that there's a lot of wishy-washy people filling the pulpits, and they're going to be accountable to God. Well, we're all accountable to God. Are there wishy-washy people filling pulpits? Yes. But, you know, what does that got to do with me and God? And if it doesn't have anything to do with me and God, shut up. And if you ain't going to shut up, at least don't be naming people. Because then that shows that you need work. Right? So that's pretty much what that showed me more than anything, was the work that that person needed. And being in submission is important. Because if we believe and we're in submission, and I'm in submission to, I want to be more like Jesus. Okay, well, being more like Jesus means that we would operate like Jesus did. And if he said, the Father gave me the authority to operate like this, well, that's not just my personality. Well, it should be. It should be your personality. When we're talking about personality, we're talking about delivery. Not talking about whether or not it should be delivered. Personality is how it's delivered. But as far as the message being delivered, it needs to be delivered, and we need to be consistent with that. However your personality does, I think we all know my personality. It's kind of like, there you go. All right? Other people, you might have a little more, let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? Tolerance. Or you might operate in a little more wisdom when it comes to that. Sometimes that prophetic anointing that's on you just causes you to be plain and strong. And so I don't excuse that, because I still want to operate in compassion. But if I needed work, it'd definitely be in the area of compassion. And it's not that I don't have it. I just try to show it rather than just go tell everybody how much I have. Right? So that's other things too. You don't have to go and share weaknesses out loud where, you know, you're also letting the enemy know you're weak there too. Because what's the very thing he'll work on? Me not being more compassionate, right? Put circumstances in my way to get in my way of being more compassionate. So we need to understand that submitting also means not just submitting to Jesus and coming to him, but that we're submitting to the authority that he gave us to have authority. You understand? If we're going to submit to him, we also need to submit to the authority that he gave us to go and operate and walk like he intended us to operate and walk. Philippians 2, verse 6, if you'll turn there with me. Philippians 2, let's look at 6 and 7. who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Now look at, I want to read verse 7 to you out of the New Living Translation. But laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave, and becoming like men, Christ humbled himself. Okay? So, he laid aside the power that he operated in fully as the Son of God. But when he came to earth and had that anointing come on his life, we do know that he operated in that power that was given him. Jesus very clearly said that he didn't speak of his own authority, but he spoke of the authority of the Father. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And go to verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. In other words, I operate in the authority that the Father's given me. I do what he tells me to do. I say what he tells me to say, and the Father does the work. Guess what? Happens the same way with us. So we can say, oh, I can't say that. You're responsible to say that. You're responsible to do that. And you don't worry or be concerned about what happens afterwards. Because if you believe the word is true and you speak it that way, then the Father will do the works. You can say, well, what happens if I go out on a limb and say that and it doesn't happen? It ain't your fault. There might be something between them and God. Maybe that was a watering time. Maybe it didn't happen right then because you came to water, but maybe the people still weren't receptive. But you got to do your part. See, somebody's planted the seed, and there's a bunch of watering that goes on, right? But who gets the harvest? God gets the harvest. You're just responsible to do what God's told you to do and operate in the authority that you've been given. You're not responsible for all the results. Results will happen because God's word is true. But you just go out and do what you've been told to do. Everywhere that Jesus went, everybody didn't believe. The only people that didn't receive, the Bible tells us, is those who didn't believe. They said in his hometown, he couldn't do many works because of the unbelief. But everywhere else he went, they received. Then people would hear, and then hope came in, then faith developed, and then they would chase Jesus down, and they would receive. Well, see, some of these people we're going to, they ain't chasing us down, we're chasing them down. They ain't necessarily wanting to hear truth. They've been out there walking and operating in a bunch of mess for so long, they've even deceived themselves to think that's what they've been delegated to, and that's how they're going to live the rest of their life. And if that's the way it's going to be, might as well eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, there's no hope for me. You know, I see these people with the bumper stickers, heaven won't let me in and hell won't keep me and all this stuff. And I just want to pull them over and lay hands on them at the stoplight. I just do. You know, I want to go, hey, roll your window down there, fella. You know, and they think it's cute. But you know what? It's not cute. They wouldn't have put that on their car if that wasn't really how they felt. You know, and I like the ones that across the back window, they've got porn star. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And I thought, well, maybe that's some type of gene or something I don't know about. Because who would really put that on their window? Thought maybe there's a new brand of jeans out there that I, you know. But no, that's cute, I guess. Maybe that's their sign to other porn stars that's what they do. Have y'all seen them? I mean, they're out there. People have them on their back window. And not just bumper stickers. They got them big stickers on their window like, you know, are really? I bet your mama's proud when you come over for dinner. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus again speaking said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus said, look, I got to do what I've been sent to do. I've got to, and not only that, here's something we really ought to take from that. I need to do this because that's what I've been sent to do, and I need to make sure that that's what I'm doing because pretty much time is short. I need to do it. The Bible says that the eye is the candle of the what? In other words, of the soul. Eye is the candle of the soul. In other words, when the eyes go out and everything else is, we're gone, we're out of here. It ain't light for us in this body here. It's become darkness. We got to do it while we have time, while we're here, when we can make an effect. And every second of every day, we can wake up every day and say, I'm going to be happy today. Or I can wake up and just decide I'm going to be miserable today. That's why I asked you two or three times this morning, are you happy? Because we ought to be. Hey, here's the first one. When you woke up this morning, you were this side of the grass. That's a good thing. Don't matter what else you're going through, we can complain all we want to, but you got to admit being alive is good. No matter what it is that we're going through, being alive is good. And if you doubt that, then you need to really get fed. You need to really understand what God's done in our lives. You know, we're not who we used to be. And we're not who we're going to be yet. We haven't received that end product. We haven't gotten there yet. We're a work in process. We're going to go through stuff. But when we go through stuff, that's what peace and joy is all about. What's my attitude while I'm going through it? You know? And I'll tell you, I've had that spirit try to jump on me before. I've had that spirit jump on me like, what's the use? Why do I keep on doing this? Blah, 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 blah. And that mess. And I'm going to tell you, the last time that happened to me, here's my exact words. Enemy, you're a liar and the father of all lies. I have the mind of Christ. Christ don't think like that. I don't think like that. And I ain't letting any of that in because I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. That's word. That's what we have to do when that is taking every thought and imagination captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Cast that mess down. Don't let it in. Guard the ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate. Guard it and don't let it in. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. Jesus was an obedient son who did the works that he was sent to do. He glorified. And how did he glorify the Father? He did it by being obedient. How are we going to bring glory to God? By being obedient. Same way. And Jesus said, the authority that I've been given, I give to you. Philippians 2, verse 8. Go there, Dougie. Philippians 2, 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. So Jesus made the choice to be obedient, and obedience is a choice. We're going to choose whether or not. So today, I'm going to give you this word. And I'm going to give you the word and tell you what the word says. I'm going to tell you that we choose to be happy. I'm going to tell you that we choose to be obedient. I'm going to tell you that we choose to be consistent with the word every time. But you know what? I can't make you do it. I can't make you do it. You'll be glad if you did it. It will change your life if you did it. But I can't make you do it. I can't open you up and like pour it inside of you. You'll make a choice whether you're going to receive it or not, and you're going to make a choice on whether you do it or not. Kind of like a diet. Hey, every time we decide we're going to go on a diet, we control, ain't nobody ever held you down and go, you're going to eat this. You made the choice. I can't help it. I'm just hungry all the time. And I got to tell you, I understand. And all them people that tell me that when you feel like you have to have chocolate, that's your body telling you that you're dehydrated and you need water. That's a lie. I needed chocolate. Hallelujah. And I needed some ice cream in my chocolate. So I know, look, I know that. I struggle with that. But you know what? I'll make a choice whether I do that or not. Maybe I ought to just sit outside with the garden hose hanging out of my mouth. Get that chocolate out of my head. Them three musketeers are of the devil. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Look with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 10. Verse 18, John 10, 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. In other words, Jesus said, look, nobody can take my life because I control the power to do that. They tried to kill Jesus the entire time he was on earth. But guess what? Nobody could kill him. But he laid his life down. There were times they were trying to kill him, and he just walked through the crowd. There were times where they had hold of him. He just walked through. They couldn't get a hold of him. But when it was time, he went out publicly, let them know that he was publicly there, and he didn't attempt to get away from them because he knew it was time to lay it down. He said, but not only is it time to lay it down, I also have the power to pick it back up again. Resurrection life power. That's the power I had when I laid it down. Probably took as much power to do that as it did to get him up. But that's resurrection life power. And that was obedience to the Father. And he said, and I did that because that's the authority that the Father had given me. Well, you know what? We have that authority which carries the power and which has been delegated to you and me, delegated power to go out. That's authority. We have the authority to use what's been given to us. Some people go, oh, you can't. You know, that was Jesus. But Jesus said, the same power I have, I give to you to go out and do the same thing. These things that I do, even greater things shall you do. Let me tell you something. Jesus never had a meeting where a million people were in the meeting, but Reinhard Bonnke has. Reinhard Bonnke has been in a place where a million people were there. How can they do greater things? They can do greater things because they have. We now have ways to market it, to get people there, to get the word out. You know, Jesus could deal with whoever was there when he was there, but you know what? Greater things than he can do. All the stuff that he's given us, technology and all that stuff. And once again, like fire and like money, you can take technology and you can do good with it, or you can do bad with it. It's what we choose to do with it. And if the church hadn't have been a little stupid about it, when technology first came out, instead of controlling the technology, we talked against it. And how if we let that in, that's going to tell, you know. Well, you know what? We prophesied that, didn't we? The church prophesied that. Oh, yeah. Had we begun speaking going, yes, the church is going to take over the airways and affect every life in the world, whether it's by radio, whether it's by television, or whether it's by the internet. Instead of saying, that internet thing, man, that thing is born for porn, and that little box in your house, is you're letting evil all in your home. And that was the church's stance instead of taking over it when it first started. Now we realize what a tool. But we talked so negatively about it for all those years. You know, Charles Finney came in. He was the first person really to have meetings outside of the church because most churches couldn't hold all the people that were coming. Okay? So he started having the meetings in auditoriums and civic centers and stuff like that. Do you know how bad the church talked about him? But they could talk about him all they wanted to. He was so prayed up. When he walked through the aisles like this, people were just pow, pow. He didn't even propose to be Pentecostal. But the power of God was so strong on him, man, they're just falling off, they're falling over all in the benches as he just walked up to the... So it didn't matter what the church said negatively about him. The power of God's the power of God and was moving anyhow. And have you ever noticed the people who decide that they believe the word and operate in the power receive what happens when you operate in the power, and those that make excuses don't? I want to put myself in position to operate in the power that's been given me and in the authority that's been given me. Jesus had a choice and he chose obedience. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke 22:42. Father, he's praying at the garden. If it's your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was obedient even to the death on a cross, and obedience brings God's anointing, and it also brings his blessing. The prophet Isaiah said, you don't have to turn here, I'll read this one to you. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Have you ever noticed that? There's a lot of people that want to eat of the good of the land, but they don't want to be willing and they don't want to be obedient. But he says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And it's not just, here's something that I think the church really needs to get. And it's not just an act of obedience. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. That if God has that for me, I want it. If God has that for me, I want it. And if God has that for me, that's what I'm going to do. That's an attitude. That's an attitude that there's not anything that's going to keep me from having that. I tell you what, I'm a firm believer in tithing. You know that. It's changed my life. But I also know that the word says not only am I supposed to tithe, but I'm not supposed to do it grudgingly or out of necessity. Right? Because why? God loves a cheerful giver. And that's not saying that we shouldn't give. That's not what I'm saying either. It's saying that we should give, but give with the right attitude. We should give with the right motives. It's the willing and the obedient that's going to eat of the good of the land. Not just the willing. See, can't do half of it. Not just the willing and not just the obedient, but the willing and the obedient. We can't do half of what he says. We got to do all of what he says. And how many people have we read as examples throughout the scripture that did part? How many examples do we have of people that's gotten up and given testimonies that they did part of what God told them to do and it didn't work? But when we did what God told us to do, it worked. God looks on our motives and our obedience. He looks at the heart. He knows why we do what we do. Not to bring attention to ourselves. And I said all this to point out that there's a balance in the kingdom of God. You rightly divide the word. You just don't take a stance on tithing. How about a right heart with your tithing? How about tithing as an act of worship? How about giving as an act of worship? When we tithe and we give, we're not just, you know, writing the name on the envelope and going, oh, easy come, easy go, there you go. And we're not just doing it because we know that if we don't do it, that we're cursed. We do it because we know that we can't outgive God. We do it because we know it belongs to Him. We do it because we know that He can do more with the 90 than we ever did with the 100 before we started tithing. That's why we do it. We do it because once we start, you won't ever stop. Because you don't ever want to stop that blessing flow into your life. And then you'll be cheerful about it. You know, sometimes I wonder why we shouldn't have to be pumped up all the time. And listen, everybody needs to get fed. You know, I go to these conferences. I'm a pastor, and I go to these conferences. But, you know, it's not up to the people at the conference to fill me up. I ought to be filled up when I go there. Now, look, it might be enhancing something that God's already told me. There might be different gifts operating there. That's fine. But, you know, it's not up to them to do that for me any more than it's up to the praise and worship people to get you to praise and worship. Praise and worship is something that comes out of you because that's what you want to do. Because you want to tell God how good He is. Shouldn't be a cheerleading session. We can be a servant and have a bad attitude. I've seen people that were servants and had a bad attitude. Tell me you haven't seen it. Well, I can do it. That ain't really what I've been called to do. Well, do you know how many things I've done that I wasn't called to do? And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'll say, can you do that? And somebody goes, well, I can do that, but that ain't really what I've been called to do. And I go, then I don't want you to do it. You'd be the last person I'd want to do it. Appreciate you being honest. But I don't want you to go do something, you know, that's really how you feel. I'd like to look. Let's look at somebody in the Word of God that understood authority. Go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. And we'll look at a biblical example of somebody who really understood authority. Matthew 8, verse 5. Are you there? Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. You know, I got mixed emotions about that. If Jesus says He's going to come to my house, I want Jesus to come to my house. But this man was showing faith because he understood authority. He understood that Jesus' body didn't have to be standing there for this to happen. He understood authority. He understood authority because he was a soldier. And he had people who were under his authority. And he understood how it worked. Lots of times you got a military background, you understand authority. You understand that you don't always agree with the authority, but it's authority. You know, about every 4 years, my dad's a Marine. About every 4 years, my dad would come in. He goes, well, we're moving. We're in North Carolina. He goes, we're moving. He just got back from Vietnam. And, you know, within weeks, we're moving. Quantico, Virginia. And then 4 years later, or 2 years later, however long it was, 3 years later, he goes, well, I've been stationed to do recruiting in Kentucky. So we're moving to Kentucky. And then 6 or 7 years later, he comes home and he goes, well, I'm going to Okinawa by myself. Y'all are staying here. And then he got over there and he goes, I kind of like this place. I think y'all like it too. I'm going to bring y'all over unaccompanied, which means he had to pay for us to come. But after we got there, we liked it so much, and we lived off base. We liked it so much, he extended for another tour. And we got military housing, stayed there for a period of time. Then they go, hey, you're going to Hawaii. You don't go, but I don't want to go to Hawaii. I don't even like Hawaii. I don't want to go to Hawaii. Do you think them people care? They don't care where you want to go. Who woke up and go, I want to go to Iraq. I want to go to Afghanistan. You just go. That's what you do. Because people that are in the military understand authority. I tell you what, people in the U.S. ought to understand that a military person does what they're told. So whether you agree with the war and whether you agree with our government or whatever, support your troops anyhow because they're just doing what they've been told to do, regardless of what you think about it. And then go, people will say, well, they're fighting for my freedom, blah, 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 blah. What are you doing taking that out on the military person? And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be at a funeral where one of them people boycotting the funeral show up, because it won't be pretty. The Lord will have to help me, because I will probably help them get in their car. I'm going to assist them in headlock type fashion, headlock type fashion. Dragging, kicking and strength. You just don't do that. And that's disrespectful to the family members. You know, that goes for anything. Doesn't matter what you think or whatever. You know? And, you know, people all upset about this big trial that just went on. That girl ain't right, y'all. She ain't right. How can you be mad at something that they ain't right? They don't get it. And, you know, you got to give people something to work with. The system still works. Do they miss it every once in a while? Yeah. Are they not allowed? I think our law's messed up that we can't tell people some stuff that we know. They can get all this stuff blocked that's happened that shows history, that shows that's probably what happened. They won't even let you bring that in because that don't have nothing to do with this one. What has everything to do with it? It shows a pattern. But you know, anybody that hurts their child, they ain't right. Anybody hurts an old person, anybody hurts another human being ain't right. You know? So don't be surprised and shocked when stuff like that happens. You know, there's some things that happen in life that ain't fair. And you know what? No matter what you think about that, hey, you just do what we know to do. Right? And we go out and be called what we're called to do. I've wanted to go get some of these people standing out in front of the abortion clinic. I've wanted to put them in a headlock and put them in their car too and go, come on, man. Can you see Jesus boycotting an abortion clinic? You know, I can see Jesus going up, you know what? I'm sorry this has happened to you. And I'm sorry that you've got all these emotions going on. But I want you to know I love you and I'm here and I'll help you. And you're not alone. That's what I can see Jesus doing. But I can't stand, I can't see him out there going, you're all going to hell! Every one of you! I mean, just can't see Jesus doing that. God is love. That ain't love. You can say, that's tough love. Well, put any name you want to on it. When I put them people in a headlock and put them in their car, I ain't loving them, I can promise you. I mean, I'll have to pray about it later. But I'm not going to go and lie to you and tell you I'm doing that out of love. I'm doing it out of disgust. Out of disgust. Total disgust. Verse 9. For all, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, and even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So listen, Jesus said, I'll go. He said, no, it's okay. All you got to do is speak a word. Well, that's all we got to do now. The authority hadn't changed. And if we believe it, you know, we don't have to feel goosebumps. We don't have to yell and scream. We don't live by feelings, we live by faith. And if we're consistent with the word, we'll speak the word every time. And guess what? God will honor His word and do it. You don't have to have a feeling come on you. The angel doesn't have to appear. You don't have to have goosebumps and he da ba ha da ba ha. All you got to do is just pray. and believe God. There ain't a magic. Some people act like it's a magic formula, like it's in a cauldron and we're mixing it all up and you got to have this way that you do it. You know, I've been to places where if you don't yell and scream, they didn't think you preached. And I've heard them yell and scream and not say anything. I've heard them yell and scream and really preach good. But yelling and screaming ain't got nothing to do with it. If you're anointed, I've seen people in three-piece suits preach up a storm and anointed like crazy. But you know what? I've seen people in a pair of board shorts and a t-shirt preach just as an anointed message. Because if you're anointed, you're anointed. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're obedient, you're obedient. If you try to manipulate, God ain't going to honor it. And He's going to expose the darkness in the light. And manipulation is darkness. It's witchcraft. It's what the Bible says. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's said here. This soldier was a man under authority, and that authority was given him by the Roman government. Okay, he'd been given by the Roman state to exercise authority. And I'm going to tell you what, without that power and without that authority from the state, he had no power. Any soldier knew and recognized the authority that that man carried. And I'm going to tell you right now, if that soldier told you to do, if that centurion told you to do something and you didn't do it, then centurion wouldn't have to bother you. One of his soldiers who understands obedience and authority would have probably took their head off for him right there. If the guy's talking back to the centurion, I can see one of the soldiers coming out and going, whoosh, and the head dropped to the ground, and he'll go, took care of that one for you, sir. And believe me, they did do that. And they did exercise that authority. And they were encouraged to support their leader like that because they were under authority to the leader. The leader didn't have to address it. The soldiers would address it for the leader in keeping with what authority that person had. So, without the chain of command in any situation, there would be chaos. God's always had divine order. God's always had a chain of command. And just like the military does, let me tell you something. If everybody, you ever heard the saying, a whole bunch of Indians and a whole bunch of chiefs and no Indians? Which means you had a bunch of people who wanted to tell everybody what to do, but nobody wanted to get out and do the work. Following orders is being obedient and doing what we're supposed to do. And you know what? It works exactly the same in the kingdom of God as it does in those situations. Learning to walk in authority in this natural way is similar to learning to walk in authority in the spiritual way. They knew how to do it in the military. Jesus knew how to do it in the spirit realm. And I'm going to tell you, here's the bottom line. God's grace is where the anointing is. And I've seen it over and over and over. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything that's being said and everything that's being done. But you know, there is a God-ordered chain of command, and He expects His children to walk in it. The centurion had soldiers under him and expected them to follow his orders just as he followed the orders of the ones above him. And that's just the way it works. Everybody doesn't just get to do their own thing. And I see so many Christians that gripe and complain and moan because they don't get to do their own thing. There'll come a time when sometimes you'll find out the thing you wanted to do wasn't something you need to be doing anyhow. But if you just follow the chain of command, and if you just submit and be obedient, what will happen is your time will come. And God will put the people in your life to help fulfill that thing that's really in your heart to do. But some people try to just make it happen and force it to happen, and they want people to be under authority to them, yet they've never learned how to respect authority themselves. Let me tell you something. If you can't submit to authority, then you're not going to have any real authority. That's why you see a bunch of people get in positions of power and they crash and burn because they can't handle a position of power. They can't handle it because they never could submit to anybody ever. You know, we know that in the household, the Bible says that the wife is to submit to the husband. I've told you several times that the husband has the greater responsibility to love the wife so that the wife knows that the husband always has the wife's best interest at hand and she never has to be concerned about that. And she's willing to submit herself to him because she knows that he's always looking for her best. But you know what? Despite of some relationships I know where that's really going on and the husband is doing that, there's wives that won't submit. They're going to control. And then the Bible says, men, don't be upset when they do that. I'm telling you, Pedro. Did y'all hear that gasp? Hey, and it may sound hard, but that's a choice that we make. And we need to pray and intercede for those that continually criticize and complain. And I'm going to tell you what, in my own ministry, I've seen a lot of doors and opportunities open just simply because I'll be obedient and do things that God's asked me to do. And you know, I've been obedient and God's called me to do the things that I've been called to do. There's some people that think that if you pastor a church and do anything else besides pastoring a church, you're not being obedient and that you're not really in full-time ministry unless you're pastoring and doing nothing else and giving your entire life to the ministry. But people that say that don't understand, for me to ignore one or the other wouldn't be being obedient to God. If God said drop it all today and go somewhere and do something else, I'd do it. You know, if God said that instead of wanting to prosper me and bless me, that he wanted me to be poor because that's what he wanted me to have, I'd be the poorest person around. But that ain't what he says. And so people who say that, I'll accept that criticism. I can handle that. Those that say that, and some people won't say it, but I can just tell the minute I tell them. I can tell what, I can see the faith. You know, in other words, you know in your spirit what they're thinking. But I don't care. You know, I'm not accountable to them. I'm accountable to God. I used to care because I didn't know any better. But then I got an understanding of what I'm supposed to do. But because I'm obedient doing what I'm supposed to do, God's opened so many doors for me to be able to do other things ministry related, where I have been able to affect larger groups of people, okay? But, you know, I also know that I'll be able to do that here because I know what the promise is and what's happening. So if you're faithful in a few things, then more will be given. So we have to learn to submit to authority, and we can then be given a place of authority over others, just like that centurion. And Jesus walked in that kind of authority. And when he spoke to sickness, it had to go. When he spoke to death, it had to go. When he spoke to demons, they had to leave. And if we recognize that earthly principle that the Roman centurion simply said, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. It doesn't have to be done in tongues. It doesn't have to be done screaming and yelling. If we speak a word, it's God's word that holds the power. It's not in the delivery. Now, he chose us all with different personalities. So I get a kick out. When I see some of them spitting and sputtering old Pentecostal preachers, I get a kick out of it. And not a kind of kick. I've seen people make fun and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that kind of kick. I just love seeing. Lots of times it's some 300-pound guy, and for him to even get his leg that high, it just kind of gets me. I'm like, woo! That's anointing because there ain't no way he can lift his leg that high. All right? That's good. That's good. But But I appreciate the differences in delivery. Because if we all delivered the same way, it'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it? So that variety is great. I love Jesse Duplantis because he makes me laugh. You know, I love Mark Lowry. If you want to laugh, listen to some Mark Lowry, who was raised up in Pentecost his entire life. I mean, you'll laugh till your ribs hurt with Mark Lowry. But I also